Hello, you lovely lot. I wanted to take a moment to share an exciting announcement with you all. I will be doing a live show for Happy Mum, Happy Baby at the Podcast Show in London on the 22nd of May. This will be a live episode of this very podcast featuring me and a very special, soon to be announced, guest. Get ready for a candid conversation, unfiltered truths, laughs, invaluable non-judgmental advice, and lived experiences. Dive into the complexities of parenting while juggling work, relationships, and personal growth. And we'll be talking beyond the baby years. As well as the live episode, the show will also include a Q&A with both me and my guest. Tickets go on sale this Friday the 26th of April at 10 a.m, but anyone who is part of the Happy Mum Happy Baby newsletter will be getting early access to tickets on Wednesday the 24th of April at 10 a.m. To sign up to the newsletter and for more information about the event, please head to happymumhappybaby.com/events. I can't wait to see you there.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Elizabeth Hall in London. How are we all? Yay! I must admit, I'm a little bit nervous. I wasn't, because we've done three shows now, and, you know, we're quite settled. I know roughly what I'm doing. I make it up. You know, it's all been fine. And then someone said the other day, are you nervous about London? Because obviously, you know people that are in. Well, I wasn't. And now, bricking it. But first of all, just give yourselves a round of applause, everyone. Give yourself a good old clap. You got out of bedtime! Woo! Amazing. Well done, everyone. I'm so proud of you all for getting out of the house. It's amazing. Okay, let's welcome the main guest, the main podcast guest of tonight. It is Ore and Portia Aduba! Come on down, come on. You
Hello. Should
have sat this side, really. You're a couple. Hi.
Good evening.
Hi.
I
everyone.
Just like space. Ore's been watching backstage.
Yeah.
Are you a little bit scared right now?
Can I just say something very quickly, because I'm quite conscious this might be the last chance I get to speak tonight.
Yep. Feel free.
I am heavily aware that I am outnumbered tonight. Can I just get a whoop from any boys that are in here tonight?
There,
the three Whoa. Of them are in.
Ooh.
They're all
That's
here.
Quite a lot.
Lovely to be here.
Yes. Well, Ore, this is your second go, really, at the podcast. The last time, though, it wasn't live.
Yeah. Yeah, you cut the boring stuff out. And now the real me has come out, i.e. Portia. So I'm
Although,
kind of...
Yeah,
well,
say...
I was going to say, you're going to hear the truth now.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. It's always interesting to get...
I have the swords out already. This is it.
No, I've got to say, after Ore came on the podcast, I then texted him that night going...
look what I just found. That was literally the first time that we'd met, we thought.
Yeah.
Then we found a drunken photo from about 8 years before, pre-kids. And I was like, look, we've actually met before.
I know. Do you remember anything that happened behind that picture?
No.
No. Yeah.
I don't know about
this. No, you don't. And that's
Tom, do you know about
this? Probably a good thing. It's probably a good thing. Yeah.
Okay, tell me about your childhoods. What were they like?
I'm one of three. My sister's in here tonight somewhere. My dad is a punk rock singer. And my mum is a stay-at-home mum when we were growing up. So family of five. And
Hold on.
Yeah, just drop that in. You can't drop that
Your
in.
Dad was a punk rock singer?
Is.
What was that like?
We had a very two-sided upbringing. My parents worked really, really hard. All three of us went to a lovely private school. But on the weekends, we'd all go to punk festivals. I lived a double life, honestly. Like, my friends were out riding horses, and I was with the Hells Angels in a field somewhere on a weekend. So, honestly, I lived two totally different lives. But my parents were amazing. They kept us grounded, and, you know, it was lovely.
Can you imagine getting with Portia for the first time, really feeling like she might be the person I want to spend the rest of my life with, and then her going, oh, by the way, my dad is the lead singer of a punk rock band.
He looks like it too. Like, he's 6 foot, he's covered in tattoos. If you know me, you're like, what? Like, it's crazy.
You're so sweet.
he's from a very notorious punk band. So,
part of the act, he used to wield an axe. That was the act. I'm like, well, Sunday roast going to be fun, isn't it? I'm the one getting served up. From my side, like, being part of Portia's family now, it's such a pleasure to be part of, because you hope that you're going to inherit the most amazing in-laws. I was so lucky from day one that Portia's family was so, so welcoming and so warm, and they've got this really tight unit thing going on. And in my house, and I think in a lot of other houses, you know, dads and mums are at different places, and my sister went to boarding school, so people were together, but then they were also quite fractious. And I love my family. My house had a lot of happiness and a lot of laughs and stuff like that. But Portia's house, even now, a lot of your traditions that you had as a kid, our family is inheriting a lot of those traditions. So
have you kept, like, a mixture of your traditions and cultures, like, so you're celebrating them with Roman?
Oh, yeah, totally. Like, yeah. I have a little joke running with Warre, because I say that he had a deprived childhood when he says things to me.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I also went to private school. So deprived. Please, £2 will feed. All right, for a whole year.
It's when he says things like, one of our family traditions is an Easter egg hunt. And my dad used to run around the house, punk rock star, running around the house, going, there's Easter Bunny, there's Easter Bunny, there's Easter Bunny. And I said, sorry, did you do an Easter egg hunt and run around the house? He was like, we didn't even do an Easter egg hunt. I was like, oh.
When's Easter? Sounds like it was fun.
Or he says to me, I say to Ori, oh, let's go and take Roman strawberry picking. Strawberry picking?
I just used to pick the raspberries from the wild trees out beyond the fence when the farmer said no trespassing. Yeah.
So those things that I didn't do, we now do with Roman, which is lovely. And my family will join in. And
But at the same time, because you're, I mean, Portia, like, you like being given gifts, that you like forcing me to give you gifts. That's basically... That's what I meant to say, because it's part of your tradition. But
a Primark bag will do, to be honest.
Well, it does. Like, you fashion it very well. But no. So, but Christmas was, you know, it was quite gift heavy, and I think on my side, because we, you know, we didn't really want for much. I think it was just quite normal that we just didn't have loads. I think we had Christmas dinner, we had lots of lovely happy times going on, but we just didn't do gifts much. So I think from my side, like, it's a lovely balance, because you want to give Roman loads of stuff. I want to not give him stuff. So I'm like, you don't need it. You just need to be alive. That's it. Leave it there. So I think, you know, as a happy
I can remember
medium.
You saying as well, for you, it's just important to be there.
Yeah.
And have that presence in his life.
Yeah.
And
even, you know, my dad, even now, he lives in Nigeria. And from as early as I can remember, him being in Nigeria was a good thing. That was our normal. But I think I was quite conscious that, for our family perspective, I didn't want to be really far away all the time. And I think when I did the podcast with you, for the first time, I'd been on the Strictly tour, and I told you that it was 5 days after Roman was born. Portia and I had made the decision, let's go with it, and I hosted the Strictly tour, and I was away for a whole month. And I think it became quite, I don't want to say normal, but it became, we understood the reality that there was going to be, being home as like a magnet. It's like, okay, let's be away, but I'm going to have a big chunk of time where I'm back home so that I can consolidate the family life. But can I just say, before this, and thank you for this marriage counselling session we're having right now. Yesterday, we just thought we'd have a little think about, because 2 years, our boy is 20 months old, he'll be 2 years old in January. It's quite a long time to remember stuff. So we had a really nice moment yesterday evening where we just went through, oh, this happened and that happened, and just trying to recall a lot of stuff that happened. And it was really nice because we came across some stuff that we hadn't actually told each other. And the most important thing was that Portia said, despite the fact we were sharing all this stuff and, you know, parenting has been really lovely and it's been really difficult, but she was like, you know, when you go on stage tomorrow, can you not be too gushy?
Has anyone listened to Ore's podcast, like the episode?
Yeah.
He gushed about Portia so much. I was like, I need to meet Portia.
Right.
She sounds much more fun than Ore.
And that's what I was thinking. That's a... Sorry, was that... Did I just get smacked backhanded then? If your husband or your partner was more gushy about you, would you not be happy, ladies and gentlemen? Ladies.
But you don't know what to do with that compliment, do you? If someone's there going, oh, you're such a good mum, you're like...
it's not that. It's more just, I love you, you know? Was that such a... I'm off. See ya.
Okay. Right, so
we've got us more to tell.
Did you two, like, as soon as you got together, did you know, like, hope that kids were in your future? Did you talk about having a family?
We did, yeah.
Quite early on. I think...
Not first date. Early. It's been known, but yeah.
Quite early on, I think we just started discussing it, didn't we? And it was always something that we hope for. I mean, I'm quite an anxious person when it comes to those sort of things. So every time Ore sort of spoke about it, I would say, yeah, if we can. Because I'd never want to just be like, yeah, okay, let's have a baby.
Well, and also you spend so long not getting pregnant growing up.
Yeah, totally. That's what I said to him all the time. I was like, you try like your whole life.
You've put it out there.
Yeah, your whole teenage uni years not to get pregnant. And then when you want to, you're like, oh, it hasn't happened straight away. Okay. You know, so yeah, but yeah.
Not my fault.
Portia, finding out you were pregnant.
Yeah, that was that was quite funny. We were trying for a baby, and you had a work event out in Barcelona, of all places. So I thought I'd just do a little test before we go, because I want to have a few drinks while we're out there. Came back negative. I was like, great! Right, got on the old tequilas out in Barcelona. I was like necking quite a few. One of my best friends was out there, so we had a lovely four days?
Yeah,
can't remember.
Four days. Yeah, four, five.
And came back, and I thought, this hangover is literally going on for about a week. What is going on? Anyway, I'd gone off to work, as he does every single day of the year. And... So I thought I'd just do a test just to check, because I just felt this hungover.
Sometimes it's just get over with. I know I'm not. Just come on, let's pee on a stick.
Exactly. I was on my own and suddenly, ding, two lines. I was like, it's a weird thing because you know, well, you think possibly, hopefully one day it's going to happen. And all of a sudden you see the two lines, you're like, oh, shit. And like I was like, okay, what do I do? And I was just sat there literally like for ages, like, okay, do I text him? Do I not text him? He's out at work. Like, what do I do? Text him just saying, hey, .. When are you home? I never used to ask him when he was home. And he texts back, why? I was like, just curious. And he now tells me, he was like, that was weird for you. So he said, oh, like six. That was literally the end of the day. So for the whole day, I was stewing on the...
It was after. It felt like a day.
It felt like a day. Anyway, came back and I literally just ran at him with this wet stick. Just like, ah! He was like, what? What? I was like, ah!
First thing I saw, though, is that because you had...
There's a mad woman running at you.
There's a mad woman with a wet stick. Who are you? No, she, because you had been to the gym in the morning and you were still, and this was the bizarre thing, because Portia is, I mean, look at, she immaculately turned out, right? And then you just start seeing little things that are different. Because one, that what?
Again, am I being too gushy? You're going to say that she was still in her gym gear.
Yeah.
And in your head, you've gone, oh God, she's let us
She must
go.
Be pregnant. She's wearing her gym gear. It's
1:30. What do you think of me now? God.
She's pregnant. But Jen, seriously though, I did, because I know you'd had the test at about a few weeks before, or a week before. You never asked me what I was up to during the day, like some sort of dodgy dealer. You had been to the gym in the morning. It was like 5 hours later. I was like, something isn't quite right. You were basically at the door as I had left you in the morning.
I knew
something was up. And then piss hit me in the eye.
That will be taken as a quote and people will take that literally.
That's fine. Is today's
age... I can see the Daily Mail headline tomorrow. Okay, you're now pregnant. How was your pregnancy? And, you know, we've been talking about relationships and how, you know, it gets a little bit...
Fractured.
Just put a funny face at you, you know what I mean? Mm. How was pregnancy?
Do you know what? I always feel really guilty for saying this, but I actually had a really good pregnancy.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Don't feel bad.
I know, but you do. You just get this sort of... Because you hear of so many of your friends and so many people having so many difficulties, that it's like the unsaid... You don't want to say it. It's like when someone says, I had a really quick labour. You're like, oh, did you?
My child sleeps.
But, yeah, my child sleeps. How was your pregnancy? Great. I was sick every day. Jeez, yeah. But then I just kind of... I don't know, I started saying it, and then I had quite a few mums as well, and my mum, you know, friends of mine as well, saying, yeah, me too. And then they felt like they could talk to me about it because...
I love it. Shamed because you're having a nice pregnancy. No! You shall not feel like that.
But you do, because I actually had a lovely pregnancy.
Like, darling,
I did enjoy it. I enjoyed wearing clothes that went over the bump. I did. Even though that was a journey itself, because... In the early stage, I felt like I just ain't eaten too many pies. And I was like, I look awful. And then towards the end, was like, I love this. And like, Ori obviously was there every night just being like, you look beautiful. I'm like, no. But I did. And I had a bit of, I was exhausted for the first 3 months. Like, I literally would go to the toilet at work to have a 5-minute nap on my phone. Like, I set my timer on my phone for like 5 to 10 minutes. So it seemed like I was doing a poo.
But you just sat on the toilet napping.
Yeah, yeah. It was that bad. Like, you used to literally say to me, babe, have a good day. And I'd go down the corridor like, yeah. And then I get to work and I just literally think, how long is it before I can go for a nap? And then I was like, okay, go, set my clock, but long enough for like a bit of a long poo, and then come back and be like... And that would happen maybe 3 times a day.
No!
So, yeah, it was really... My exhaustion was awful. And I did feel kind of not myself, because I was a real gym goer. And I loved going to the gym and I couldn't do any of that because I had no energy. But once that sort of had passed for me, I then managed to get back into the gym, which is what I love doing. And I used to work in telly and I was travelling all over the country and I was making telly shows, and I went in for an interview for a job. I felt like I didn't want to say that I was pregnant when I was going for my job interview. And then they saw online, because it's quite easy to find those kind of things, that I was pregnant. And they rang me up and they said, oh, we'd love to offer you the job, but we have seen online that you're pregnant. And I was like, yeah. And they were like, but we'd still love to offer you it. And I was like, oh, because I was so worried, wasn't I? And it was quite early on still. But I was chuffed. I worked up right up until pretty much the end. I was going to the gym and I didn't feel like anyone was discriminating me at all.
I always think that people are amazing with pregnant women. It's when the babies come along that they can't stand you.
Use them as a weapon.
Yeah, they haven't got a time of day for you then.
No.
You're like, pram, you ain't getting on.
You stay out there. Yeah. We're going to the next job. Yeah.
Do you know the thing, though, during the pregnancy, because, I mean, you really did really, really well because the tiredness kicked in and you were working, like your daily commute was an hour and a half away from you. And so you managed that really well. The really trivial thing that was quite difficult at that time was trying to not tell people that you were pregnant in the early days before we announced it? Mm. Because at the time, so it was 2017, and it was a mental time because, again, Strictly had happened. And you mentioned it because it was such a huge chapter in our lives. And that following year was quite busy and quite eventful. And you can imagine, because Portia was such an incredible supporter at the time. And genuinely, this was kind of the difficulty, because she got to know the Strictly family. She was basically, you know, one of the lot. So following the show, whether it was going to someone's, one of the couple shows, or going to another event, and, you know, Portia was known as the Prosecco Queen.
She's got a punk rocker father. Of course she
comes with a reputation. And so what we found really difficult was going to these places, and it was trivial, but at the end of the, on the other side of the coin, you're like, people are going, oh, you're not having a Prosecco. Come on, what's going on in there then? Come on, what's going
on
in there?
I've got a urine infection.
Or you were having difficulty going to the loo.
I had the runs another one.
That was another one.
Yeah, you really put people off there.
Yeah.
They don't want to ask you once you've said
that. Conversation killers, those.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was trying to think, we had many a bicker, because I would say to Ori, look, you've got to stick with me on this one, because, you know, we've seen these people before, okay? So you're not drinking because we're on a health kick. Okay, we get there. I'm going to have a beer. So what am I doing? He's like,
I think you had a urine infection.
I had a urine infection again.
Doctor didn't diagnose me. I'm all right. No, it was kind of tricky, but it was nice, because when it actually came to the moment that we shared the news, it's mental, because it's a private thing, but understandably, especially at that time, that you knew there was going to be this interest. And I remember Portia and I had said, okay, we're going to do it tomorrow. We sort of drafted this post, and in the morning we were like, it's like 9 o'clock in the morning.
Did you get butterflies in your
tummy? Oh my God, it was terrifying.
Oh my gosh,
terrifying.
It's so scary.
Because it's not just between the you two, or not just with your family, and you're sharing it with what was already a really warm and lovely members of the public who had supported us on this Strictly journey. And I remember we were ready. We almost like held hands, and we were in bed, and we posted at the same time and just hid under the duvet.
And yeah, we did.
And our phones, like, you could hear it sort of on the side table, just on fire. It was just buzzing with just this amazing shared, like, love from so many people. And that kind of has continued. We've just been really, really lucky that, like, people are going on this journey. And, like, whether it's on your Instagram, people have been so, so lovely. So if you're any of them, thank you.
I think there's certain moments in life that you just kind of go, fill you with love. When people, like, get engaged, and then when they announce they're having a baby, there's just something, I don't know whether it's, although I used to get it before I was a mum, I think there's just that thing, you kind of know what that person's going, I don't know, it's just something that, it brings you back to life in a weird way.
Yeah,
it's perspective, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just what we're all on this planet for, if that's your way inclined.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So, move on to actual labour. Where were you when you went into labour?
I got induced because, so we went down the private path, and with Ori's work, he was going
you wanted
on
him
the
there.
Tour.
Yeah.
So we discussed it in length, and, you know, we'd had many a talk with doctors and midwives and all this kind of stuff. So we decided for us, as well as Roman, you know, because we needed to make sure he was safe and whatnot, we decided that I was going to get induced because I couldn't do it without him. And
well,
also,
it's fair to say you wanted him there. That's an okay statement.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be there as well.
Yeah.
At the time, the due date would have been during the...
I didn't want to be there, actually.
I didn't want to be...
Right, I'm
out of things to do. Like, yeah. Going through the diary.
Oh, she's pregnant. Oh, she's having a baby.
Oh, gosh, okay. Just finish this just finish this quick step and I'll be right there. So at the time it would have been during the Strictly tour would have been the natural date, and we were umming and ahhing whether we'd be able to get down from Newcastle or whatever. So it was a decision that we made together and with the consultation from the medical professionals, and a really good friend of mine is a gynecologist who was like, as far as I'm concerned, there are no other health differences to getting inducers to do it naturally, was our professional advice that we got. So we were like, okay, let's do this because it's the best decision for us at the time.
And how was that? Being induced is quite intense.
It is. We went into the hospital and they just wanted to do a scan on the baby. And we had already arranged that we were going to go in, have the scan, come out, have a little bit of dinner as our last night. We'd booked a hotel down the road. We had a lovely little evening. It was all going to be
really
relaxed.
It's really weird, though, isn't it? Knowing that it's your last time out, yeah. too. It's it a
was,
massive deal.
We watched
deal.
The Greatest Showman. That was our last film that we watched.
We did. Good. It was so good. And so we went in to have the scan, and they said, "Oh, we can't see enough fluid on the baby, so we want to keep you in." And we were like, "Oh, okay." Dinner's cancelled.
We were going
to
get pizza.
So we stayed in that night, watched a little bit of Dancing on Ice and had a pizza. But then the process of it started, but it didn't take effect straight away. And I started becoming quite impatient and I was like, it's not happening, it's not working. I thought, oh gosh, this is going to go. Because they do tell you, obviously, it can go on for many hours because obviously with the induction of a baby, you know, you've got to go through all the stages. And I am one of these people always thinks the worst, and then if it's better, then I can say, oh, it was better. Luckily for me, like, it happened all quite quickly. It took the midwives by surprise because I kept saying to them, something's happening, and they were like, yeah, you've probably got quite a while to go. And I said, no, I think something's really, really happening. Roman came so quickly that I didn't have anything. You were on the old back zipper, what's it called?
The TENS machine.
TENS, there we go. So Ori's on the TENS machine, that's all I had. And they kept saying, I think you've got quite a while to go, And I was like, I something's telling me I don't. But classic me, I was thinking also about a photo I'd quite like at the end. So in between contractions, I was putting on bronzer.
I was literally, when I had Max, pulling out my grey hairs in the toilet between contractions. Well, just great lighting.
But no, the lighting is quite good in there.
So
I kept going back mid-contractions thinking, I need a bit more bronzer on here. Listen, these photos are not going to look good. So, what was I thinking? So it all happened really quickly. Anyway, my midwife came in and said, oh my God, we need to get you up to the labour ward, like, now. Like, the baby is basically coming. And I had had nothing. I kept saying to them, I think I need something. While my head was in a fan. I was so hot. I was sweating. My head was literally in a fan like this, saying, I really think I need something. They managed to get me up. And they said, oh, would you like a wheelchair? We can wheel you up. And I was like, I am walking. I am walking up these stairs. And it was awful, wasn't it? Every, like, two steps, I was like, oh, God, why am I walking? Literally, it was awful.
We took a lift.
Oh, did we?
Yeah. Oh. It could have been very different, but we got there we're safe and sound, so it's ding.
To be fair, Roy, that's not the time to be picking over. Okay, who cares if it was stairs or a lift? If Portia says stairs, it was stairs.
If it
okay?
was 2018,
it felt
January,
like
sure. You've had 2 years to think about it. It's etched in my memory. The lift, it was a lovely journey. Yeah.
Was it scary seeing the person that you love going through something that's kind of bigger than she is?
It was the helplessness, really, was probably the overwhelming emotion that was going on at the time. You know, you go through it with the midwives, you know, what you want for the point of delivery. And we had playlists planned and it was going to be this. And we talked about water. And as it was like, baby's coming now. We just got to do it. And you were doing really, really well. But then the point where they pressed the red panic button, which doesn't mean panic. It's just a red button where 10 people that you've never met rush into the room. But it's not a panic. It's just procedure. You're like, we never talked about this for 9 months. How is this a thing? So, yeah, at that point, I'm just watching and going, just trusting in, obviously, the professionals around. And knowing that Portia, she'd hypnobirth till the cows came home. You were so ready for that moment that I knew you were going to be great. All I had to do was give you my strong hand that you'd turn into a little withered arm by
and
the
I
time.
And I love that your mind was going, must return yes. her strength. Must
remember the Paso Doble. Remember.
You can do this already.
Even
you can
kidding.
Do this.
You just give what you can, don't you? You just give what you can.
So why did 10 people rush in the room?
Oh, because Roman was coming so quickly that his heart rate was dropping,
right.
Which my midwife assured me that this happens so often. I mean, they were amazing. They were, like, keeping me really calm. And I remember looking over at Oren, just his eyes were so wide.
Rabbit, headlights.
He was just literally just like... And I was like, it's okay. I'm reassuring. Oh, that's fine, it's fine. But no, yeah, he just came so quickly. He was fine,
yeah.
But they just wanted to make sure that if I couldn't get him out quick enough... That they then I need to have a C-section then, mm-hmm. So they were just making sure that I was ready for theatre if I needed to go in. So they just came in, prepped me, but I was still pushing at the time. My midwife was still saying to push and things, yeah. But I do remember just thinking, I really, really just want to give birth to him. I've come this far. I'm so close. Come on. It was just a mental thing that I really wanted to do. I know, obviously, had they made that decision for me, I wouldn't have cared,
yeah.
Because you know. As long as he's healthy and he's, you know, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But just at that moment in time, I was like, come on, you can do it.
You surprise yourself, don't you?
Yeah.
That like animalistic thing that just erupts out of you.
Totally. He turned to me and was like, you turned into the Red Hulk. Honest to God. And I was just like,
hey, it was impressive.
You tried pushing a baby out.
So what was it like meeting Roman for the first time? Did you know he was a boy?
No,
we didn't know. We left that decision until the moment of the ultimate discovery, and they pulled him out and passed him over to you and said he was a boy. And
they said he was a boy, but I didn't hear.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I didn't hear. You know when you're just, it's totally overwhelming and you've suddenly got a baby there, even though you've been growing a baby, it's still like, oh my gosh, where did this baby come from? Even though it's really bizarre.
Oh, he was a little bit like,
like, oh God, what's happened? Like, it's just really surreal.
And my first reaction is like overwhelming, you know, the tiredness, wanting to be there and support you, because even in that whole instance, and Roman is here, I've been like, okay, hoping you're okay. And then I look over at him and they tell you, because you'd done some baby classes before and I'd been invited to one of them. And I remember them talking about various things about labor and about pregnancy, and then recognizing that when you see the baby, the blue shriveled alien baby, that's normal.
Yeah.
Bloody hell, that's not normal. That's not... I was like, what's happened to his head? It's all cone. You know, and you're trying to recall all that education that you had, but it's freaky.
And then in that moment, there's so much pressure on this bond that's meant to be there an instant. Mm. I know that we've spoken about, you know, that bond wasn't there straight away, but was it there straight away for you, Portia?
I think so. I mean, it's so overwhelming.
Yeah. What was it like taking him home, knowing that Ore was going to be leaving 5 days later?
When we'd spoken about it so much, because obviously we'd planned the induction and we knew, okay, when we signed the contract to do the Strictly tour, you were going to be away. It's okay. You know, I'm going to go to my mum and dad's. It's going to be great. My sister's going to pop round. All the family going to be there. It's perfect.
It's just me and a baby. He's only this big.
It's fine. Like, literally fine. It was awful. Like, it was so awful. I think, like, when we realised, when RA said, OK, right, I'm going now, I think I had actually cried, like, every day up until you were going. But I think we literally just did that cry at each other for, like, right up until he was leaving on the day. Because I just... Obviously, all hormones are crazy at that time. You haven't slept since the day that they were born. And all of a sudden, just sunk in that, oh my gosh, like, he's going to miss him having a feed at 2 a.m.
And who's going to watch a rerun of Countdown with me?
Yeah.
But what's he going to do without knowing a five-letter word? He could have got a six on that one, poor Ore.
who's going to bring me a cereal bar at like 4 a.m.?
Dude.
But like, no, and it did. And it was just, I felt so bad. And my parents were amazing, but they were a bit like, you had the baby, so you're doing the 3 a.m. feed. You know, and they were there when I needed a sandwich and whatnot, but there was nothing.
But the nighttime is lonely.
It's really lonely. Yeah. And no matter how much I would text him or whatever, you know, or ring him, he'd say, call me anytime, but you don't. And I just felt, oh my God. And you've suddenly had a baby with your husband and suddenly he's not there. And it was, if someone had said to me, this is how you're going to be feeling, I would have said to him, I don't care what you're doing, you're staying at home with me, because it was really hard. It was really hard.
And it was really hard to, even though we had discussed it and prepared it, it was incredibly hard. Everything we've done for the 5.5 years that we've been together at the time had been together. So now, in the immediate aftermath of becoming parents, I'm off. That just didn't compute. And I remember I was getting the train. We were in Kent. I was getting the train back to London before heading off on the tour. And a couple of my best boys had a WhatsApp group, Baby Daddies, it was called. Original. We were texting because they'd had their one boy and one girl weeks and months before that. So we were texting about it and how it felt. And I told you that we'd watched The Greatest Showman was the last film that we had together. And I had it on my ears, and you know, the song Never Enough came on. Never, never. Oh my God. If you saw that carriage on the Southeastern train heading to Charing Cross, you saw me, you would have gone, somebody called 999, because this guy is in a serious mess.
And also, for you, so you were saying how, for you as a dad, you want to be there, you want to be present, and then 5 days later, you're having to go off for work.
Yeah, yeah. And you, all you want to do, my instinct, all you want to do is support. And even though this is work, and we understood that this is work, and this has been part of the decision for why we were going to do it, that doesn't match up to your overwhelming feeling of just being there. Mm-hmm. I want to get you the 6-letter score on Countdown. I want to be there and give you. I want to make you a Marmite sandwich as much as I hate Marmite, you know. And I wasn't there, so it was incredibly difficult. And I wouldn't even put my hands up in anywhere near it to say that my difficult was anywhere near yours. But we were dealing with very difficult situations. But I think we knew, like I said before, we knew this was like the start of a new reality for us.
Portia, were you sympathetic when Ori said, I'm sad?
No, she
I'm
wasn't, okay? I'll answer that for her.
Because I know what I would say.
I know.
Fuck off.
I know. Can we move on to the next question?
Oh, boo-hoo. You're going on the Strictly tour each night, having a few bevvies.
It must be really
this
weird.
This trap door has a carpet on it. How
but
do
it
you
must
get
be odd knowing that it? Your husband is going off and being part of this glitzy show, and you're there, boobs engorged, drenched in mum sweat, hair not washed for days. It must feel like you're living such different lives.
Oh, totally. And then on top of that, you've got media as well, writing stories about, you know, oh, Ori's off on tour, you know, leaving mum at home. And there's this picture of me and Daily Mail, like. But no, it was really hard. But actually, at the time, horrendous. Yeah, like, the only godsend was that he would be up late night drinking, and, like, at least he was up. I could text
him.
Oh,
yay, drunk Ori!
We actually, because I would try to check in after every show, because I knew she'd be up. I'd try to go, you know, we hadn't maybe spoken throughout the day, so after the show, the least I could do was call in, say, how you doing, you're right. And before we went, Porsche was very generous in saying, look, you know, obviously you're on the tour, you know, you're hosting it, you can't be a recluse, so you've got to enjoy the time with everybody. So I'd check in, we'd have a chat, how's everything going, you know, it's difficult, feedings, this and that. And then I'd be like, they're all going in the bar in 10 minutes, so I might have to
wrap it up.
I have to wrap it up. And
it's like a pantomime now.
Yeah. Oh!
Boo!
Oh, you know. Sorry. I'm going to be playing Dandini in Croydon Cinderella this year. Thank you, Giovanni. That's very kind of you to
always
put
happy
it out
to plug. Always
there.
Happy.
But yeah, no, you did. And you was like, it was happening for days. And you would say, it came to the point you were like, I don't think you should call me anymore.
Mm.
Oh. I think we're going to leave it here.
It is that weird thing. It's like, it's just, if you know that actually speaking is crushing you a little bit more.
Yeah.
So actually, you know what? I'll speak to you when you get home.
Yeah, it was just listening to that life that you had before, because it's awful, because you do just start looking down at Roman, you resent, because in those early days, yeah, you're mum bun up, you're sweating so bad, and you're just sitting there and it's like 3 a.m. and they haven't stopped crying, you don't know why. And there's Ore saying, you know, oh, I'm just going to go for, and you think, yeah, last year I was on that Strictly tour. I was out doing shots of tequila. having a little boogie with some of the guys.
We did have a good time there,
yeah,
didn't we?
We had an amazing time. But, you know, and that's the life that I'd be having right now.
It's so hard because I think when you share stuff like that, it's usually followed up with but I love my child. I love my... Like, you can't feel that. Mm. You have to make sure that everyone knows that because you're feeling that way, it doesn't mean that you don't love you. I love my child. I absolutely love my children. No, don't. No, I love them.
Do you love them, though?
No. No, but it's that thing. It's like, oh, no, she doesn't. You know, if she wants to have a little bit of herself, yeah, then that's...
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And it's interesting that you're both at such different points in life. So what was it like when Ore came back?
We're still here.
He hasn't come back.
Because obviously by that point, you're quite settled. You've got your routine.
Yeah, this was actually the hardest part, actually, because I had got myself into a routine and Roman was only being breastfed and Ore came back. And then you were at home for a little while, I think. Were you at home?
Yeah, about 3 weeks. Yeah.
And we decided that we were then, I think around this sort of point, we decided, oh, hey, well, why don't we try a bit of bottle feeding? So I went into the express realm. And then the worst bit, though, was sometimes I couldn't do it without seeing Roman. So I had to keep bringing him back in the room, which was really annoying. Literally would only pump if I saw him. So we decided to. And actually, do you know what? That was even worse because I got myself in a routine. I knew when he was wanting a feed. I knew what he wanted. And you do get that motherly instinct. And you're like, oh, he's crying now because, you know, at the beginning, you're just like, what the hell's going on? And I still do now. Like, why are you having a tantrum? What's going on? But, you know, I sort of said, oh, right, this is his time for this. And then Ore would sort of try to help muster in, and I'd be like, no, you don't. Oh, now he's gonna cry. And you know, so it was we started having quite a lot of bickers then, and then the bottle feeding came
in. I'm sorry, have they finished?
I wasn't there.
We are still bickering.
Yeah, but it was almost, it was just the fact that I'd done so much on my own.
Yeah.
For Ore to come back in and try and help, at that point, I saw it as help. It just wasn't. I was just like, I resented it. He was there and he'd be in bed asleep. And Roman would wake up and I'd be the one feeding and he'd still be asleep. Oh, right, great.
So it's like they're resenting there, but they can't actually do anything anyway. It's just annoying.
So you might as well
sleeping.
Just not be there, you know?
Are you all hearing this too? Because I've got the divorce papers right there if you want to get this over and done with.
It was hard, though.
It was incredibly hard. And I think from my perspective, coming into that, because you know that this is now your domain, that the house is your domain. The rules are set. Here's how it works. And a lot of it biologically and, you know, the other half, because this is what you've decided is what works best for Roman, as has just gone on with time. And so you have to just try to fit in. And the only way of fitting in is through learning through you. And it's just abrasive. There's no other way of doing it. You can't write out a textbook of here's how it works, this is what's going to be, and this is the timing as much as you like to. So it's only difficult. And so it was a really, really tricky time for the two of us, because for me it was like, and I know I've said this on the podcast before, it was how can I be supportive without getting in the way, because the only way that I'm going to get better is I'm going to actually do this stuff in practice, but I'm going to get it wrong, and by getting it wrong more, she's going to get more angry, and it's like the cycle of just, no, this isn't working, but the more you do it is the only way of getting better. So that was like a period for about 6-7 months, wasn't it? In fact, I mean, the house is still your domain, I'm just visiting.
As long as you know it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Being a parent means go.
Googling everything.
Gorgeous.
Being a parent means, oh, God, you said don't be gushy. Means that I'm winning at life. That's all I wanted to do was have a family. All right. Leave it there. Sorry.
Since having children, I'm
now the third best in our family.
As long as you know it. Portia.
Worry about everything.
Yours are really uplifting. Right. Yeah. I'm happy when... All right.
Oh, I prepared this one. I'm not even going to say it. You say yours first.
Oh, when we're all three of us are just sat on the sofa at home. I love it.
All right.
I'm happy when she's happy. And that's been the case
happy
since day
wife,
one.
Happy life.
Right, okay. On brand, on message.
Thank you so much, Portia and Ore. You have been amazing. Thank you so much for coming. You have been incredible.